Why do mentors matter? Why are they so critical to your success? That's what we're going to be talking about in today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast here with Francis Jones. How are you, Francis?
I am fantastic, fantastic in this brand new year. Every time I see 2026, I think I'm misreading it because I cannot believe it's already 2026. And what's even more bizarre about that, Chad, is that it feels like I'm going to blink my eyes and you and I are going to be meeting this time next year. And I'm going to say 2027. I cannot believe it's 2027.
It's like crazy. So fast. It's crazy. Things go so fast, so quickly. And that has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about today.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Because people, life moves quickly and there's a lot coming at us and people want to accomplish great things. And we're going to be talking about why mentors are so critical to your success. Now, Francis, you've always believed in mentors. You were one that's really, even decades ago, you emphasized to me how important mentors are. Why have mentors been such a big part of your success?
You know, because what we were just joking about earlier, and honestly, I wasn't thinking about that in relation to our topic, but because things move so fast and we react to things so fast, it is really, really difficult for us to see outside of our own tunnel vision, right? We get this tunnel vision and we are so focused on the end that we, without someone to bounce things off of, it's impossible for us to avoid all the problems that can be avoided. Now, that doesn't mean we can avoid all problems. It does not mean we can avoid all problems. I want to be clear about that. Having a mentor doesn't mean you're going to have no problems in life. But, you know, if you've ever watched football and you're like, why did the quarterback throw that ball? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the dumbest interception. And then they show the picture behind the quarterback and you see him looking down the field and you're like, oh, he never saw that guy. Mm-hmm. He never saw that guy cutting from the left. He saw his receiver and he saw the receiver's defender right behind him. And so he threw it. And then this guy, he never saw that guy. And a mentor is someone that steps back. If we're willing to be honest and be authentic and genuine, they're able to say, hey, listen, have you considered this? And more often than not, Chad, and I bet you would agree with this, when a mentor does that, you're like, oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Right, right.
Thought about that.
Well, and it goes back to that phrase that many people have heard, and that is you understand what you know. You get what you don't know, but then there's that whole world of you don't know, right? Like you're like, I didn't know that. And that's why a mentor, and some people will even call him a coach, but somebody that helps guide you and direct you. Okay, so I'll put you on the spot here for just a second, Francis. Well, give me one of three great insights you've received from a mentor that you perhaps hadn't thought of before, but this mentor said, hey, Francis, have you considered this? And how's that changed the trajectory of your life?
Oh, that's a great question. Because a mentor, as you said, a mentor can be many different things, right? And it can be many different people. Most of us don't have just one person that's a mentor to them, right? There are several people they can go to for guidance and for help on what they want to accomplish or what they're going through. And so I think being strategic about it is super helpful. But, my dad, he's no longer with us, but was a huge mentor of mine. And I know he was a mentor of yours as well. He was a huge mentor of mine. And I remember once I was saying to him, I said, I just don't get it, Dad. I thought the universe was lining up for me. And I got this, I had this job and we bought this house and we're building this house and we were finally going to be able to afford things. And I'm like, I thought I'd finally arrived. I thought that I'd finally gotten there. And my dad just looked at me and he said, you know, he kind of chuckled. He said, that's adorable. He said, you know, the reality is that you're never there. Like there is never a there. He's like, you're not there until you're safely dead. That's always his big joke is, you know, well, it was, but he's now safely dead. So I can say that. Right. But, until you're safely dead, meaning that you're never there. You've never arrived. Like you can't say I did everything I was supposed to do and I was supposed to get this job and I was supposed to make this salary and my kids were supposed to be doing this thing with the assumption that that was the end game. there is no end game. It doesn't end, right? And if you can focus on that and you remember that, like, oh, that's just a part, like that, there's something else in store for me, good or bad.
Right.
I'm not sure I'd like to ascribe good or bad to it. It's just, it's like helpful or not helpful in the moment, but everything can be good for you and your experience and learning, and everything can be helpful, right? But it doesn't feel like that when you get fired. It doesn't feel like that when you lose a job, or when you lose your house, or when your kid does something dumb and they, you know, all that stuff doesn't feel good. But if I remember that advice from my dad, that you're never there, you've never arrived, there is no arrival. Like, it's just another step in the road. Then you can look forward and say, oh, well, what is that actually look like? And I promise you, never in a million years am I coming up with that on my own. Never, ever, ever. Because when I think about it without that, that means that I'm the victim. It means that that someone took advantage of me. That if only this hadn't happened, I could have had what I had was reaching for, right?
Right.
And so when you start thinking about it with the lens of like, hey, there's other things beyond this, you're like, oh, okay, well, what could that be? Oh, this is a little bit more minor, and yeah, you got to work through it, but there's still something great on the back end of it, right?
Right. That's exactly right. And sometimes when you're in the midst of challenges, when you're in the midst of difficulty, or even if you're just in the midst of growth, when you have somebody who can help give you insight, someone that can really guide you along the way, it's so massively important. Now, there's a couple of different types of mentors that I want to unpack here for a moment. And that is this: a mentor, someone you've chosen to maybe be that mentor or wear that title of mentor. But then there are also, I don't want to say mini mentors, like M-I-N-I, mini mentors around you. But when you surround yourself with really high caliber people, that's what happens. They serve as those types of mini mentors.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like, your goal should be to surround yourself with people who are willing to provide you insight and are capable of providing you insight. The worst thing we can do is enter an echo chamber. Because when you enter an echo chamber, it doesn't do me any good for someone to tell me, you're right, Francis, you're right,
right.
Francis, you're right. Like, that doesn't work very well. In fact, I saw a clip just the other day that said, and it was politics, and so I'm not going to bring politics into it. He was referencing politics, but he said, if everything your side says is right and everything their side says is wrong, you've been manipulated, right? Mm. Meaning, if you can't see any value in what other people are saying, you are not open to anything new. You're in an echo chamber, and being in an echo chamber, it can make you feel really good about the decisions you've made, and it can make you feel really good about the things you support, but there's no growth.
Right.
There's no growth in any of that, right? So when we talk about mentors and having many mentors, it is critical to surround yourself with people that you can turn to that are willing to challenge and willing to say, have you considered that? Have you thought about how that might have impacted you? You can have an honest conversation without getting your feelings hurt, and without feeling like you're being undermined, without feeling like it's negative. It's not negative to be told that the direction you're headed isn't in your best interest. Like, that's really critical to have people that are willing to say, hey, have you thought about it this way?
Right.
And you mentioned earlier, coaches can be mentors, but not all mentors are coaches, right? Coaching is a kind of a different animal, can be a different animal, right? Because, you know, when we first started talking about this, there is not a coach worth their salt on the planet that doesn't also have a coach.
Right.
Right. You can envision a world in which this coach is coached by this person, who's coached by this person, who's coached by this person, who's coached by this person. And so it can be this circle, and that's fine. All that tells you is that this coach or even a mentor is not about the new information they give you. If it were, then if my coach was circled back around to me, then I'd be giving myself the same information. It's not about that.
Right.
It's about having a set of ears and eyes that can look at things a little bit differently. And it's about being reminded that you used to look at those things that way. I had someone I was talking to yesterday, and they recently moved, and their kids are younger, much like your kids were when you were younger. Is it fair to say that when your kids left, when you left Gilbert here in Arizona and moved up there, that there was some angst?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's tough. We know it's tough. It's tough with adults, but it's tough, right? And so he has a 13-year-old and they moved about a year ago. She was really angry about it. And so she went back. She's up in Logan now, but she was down in the Provo Valley, Provo area. So she went down and spent 4 days over Christmas break with her friends. By the time she got back up to Logan, because it had been a while, and she had adjusted to where she was at, and she'd had new experiences and made new friends and realized that the world wasn't ending because she had moved. She was telling her dad, like, it was hard being around them. They just were a little bit of annoying, and they moved on, and I moved on. And I said, what you got to do, dude, is you got to remind her about that, because the next time something happens, you need to help her remember this, because she's going to have this happening with a job or with a boyfriend or with a teacher or whatever. It's not as bad as we think it is. And that's what a mentor does for you, right? And so he should be a mentor to his daughter. I hope someday that my kids, when I'm long gone, when someone asks them that question about the best piece of advice they got from mentor, that they would say that they got something from their dad.
Right.
That's what I would hope, right? And so I want to try and be that person to anyone I can. But it's also important to note, you can't just turn that on. Like you got to build that relationship as well. I can't just all of a sudden decide, hey, Chad, I'm going to be your mentor. So I'm going to inject myself in your stuff. Well, that's not the way it works. Right?
Not at all. But
you attract those people to you by the way you behave. It's like what we talked about a few weeks ago with Tim. You attract those kinds of people to you.
Right. This episode is brought to you by 10 Days to Create Clarity, a breakthrough course inside the Speak and Get What You Want Academy. If you've ever craved more meaning, more momentum, but not knowing where to start, well, you're not alone. The problem isn't motivation, it's clarity. These 10 days give you exactly that. Simple direction, real confidence, and clear next steps. You know exactly what you want, make decisions without second guessing, go from drifting to taking action, and align your life with what actually matters. And you'll feel a real shift fast. If you're tired of scrolling, stuck, or waiting for life to make sense, stop waiting. Join the Speak and Get What You Want Academy and start the 10 Days to Create Clarity course today. Go to speakandgetwhatyouwant.com. Right. And keep in mind, Francis, when the most successful people in the world are seeking and wanting and desiring mentors. They are. And so you never get to a point, like you said, you never get to a point where you're like, oh, I don't need any guidance anymore. I don't need a mentor anymore. I don't need any of that. It's something that all of us should be actively seeking to learn. Some of the most successful people I know never, well, and this is why they're so successful, is they never get to a state where they don't believe they can't learn more from other people.
Right.
Once you get to that point, then you realize that you're in a bad place.
Terrible place. You cannot be in any place worse. If you feel like you've got nothing left to learn about something, it's tough. It's tough. And we've all been there with certain things in our life, and I get it. And I'm not being critical of that, because I do it too, but it is problematic. When you feel like you've learned everything there is possibly to learn about something, it's a problem. Like, you've got challenges.
Oh, no question. It was interesting. I, on a podcast I recorded today that's coming out next week, I had the Paris twins on it, and these Paris twins wrote a book, and I read the book, Francis, and it's an awesome book. Like, it's a really good, insightful book. Well, they're 21 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you can see the book, if you're watching the podcast, you can see I've got it all marked up and notes, and they're 21 years old. Okay. Francis, I'm 52. I'm gonna be 53 years old. Okay. But I'm learning from these 21-year-olds. Right. And so hopefully we're all actively looking to learn from someone who may be 20, someone who may be 80, and seeking mentorship and guidance from all sorts of different right sources, of course.
Right. Yeah. It's true, because we close ourselves off to what's possible if we limit the possibility of who might be able to help us, right? And so, again, you're right. You do have to be careful about the people you bring into your life. But you generally are going to attract the kinds of people who are going to be, who are going to help you in the way you live your life. So if you aren't open to change and new ideas and you say, oh, yeah, I want to hear, give me all the bad stuff. But every time someone gives you bad stuff, you freak out. What's going to happen?
Right.
You're going to surround yourself with people that are only going to tell you the good stuff. And even those that would tell you the bad stuff will tell you, oh, you can't. I remember once I was at a buddy's house. And his son-in-law was a digital graphic design guy. And he was like, oh, I redid my website. And he was sitting there and the son-in-law was like, oh, can I show it to you? I'd love some feedback, because he knows I used to build websites. So he goes upstairs. And as he goes upstairs and rounds the corner, my buddy looks at me and says, do not tell him anything that's wrong with the website. I know there's stuff wrong with it, but don't tell him. He will go inside himself. He'll get like really defensive, and then he'll be like, he'll mope and be. And so I wasn't allowed to tell him anything. There was so many things wrong with the website, but I wasn't allowed to tell him because he says he's open to feedback, but he's not open to feedback. Right. And so, but that's who he attracts. Right. Mm. And so if you can prove that you're open to that feedback, you'd be surprised where you can get sources of inspiration and the mentor relationship. There's very, like, you can find some great hidden gems, but you have to be open to
right.
it.
Absolutely. And Francis, I say real human mentors. You know, some people find right. they turn to AI and they'll ask AI questions. And I'm not trying to, you know, minimize the impact of AI, nor am I saying that you shouldn't leverage AI. But the reality is AI learns what you want to hear, and sometimes right. will just tell you what you want to hear, right? So they'll say, wow, you're very gifted and good at this, this, and this. And it's telling you whatever it believes you want to hear, right? It doesn't tell you or isn't as honest as perhaps you need it to be.
Well, and the AI side of it's not always accurate. Like, I was building out our stuff for Speak and Get What You Want. And I was asking AI some questions and like, this is exactly what you need to do. And then I went back and I'm like, well, that's not there. It looks like that's an older version. This is the newer version that I told you about. Oh yeah, that's exact. Now I know exactly what's happening. And then it's wrong again. And I'm like, no, you're still missing this thing. He's like, that's a great observation. It's a great catch, Francis. But now I know exactly what's happening, right? And it never got it right. And that's fine. It's AI and it's not perfect and all that stuff. But if we rely too much on that stuff, you're right. It does become another source of an echo chamber.
Right.
And it becomes very problematic, right? So nothing wrong with starting with that. And maybe as a reference point, right? But yeah, human, I love the qualification there, human, the human mentor.
Right. And so when Francis, someone listening to the show today is like, okay, I hear you, the importance of finding a mentor. How does one go about finding mentors?
Well, first and foremost, I think that those, they will be drawn to you based on your like putting out, like if I'm having a conversation with someone, and I have turned a corner, and you've known me a long time, and I've turned a lot of corners, like some good, some bad, right? But in my mid-30s, I was really struggling, and everything was someone else's fault. Nobody wanted to listen to me. I wasn't getting promoted, and it was because the manager liked this other person, or they didn't like me, or whatever. It was really tough, and my mentor sent me to some life coaching stuff, and I finally was able to step back and say, oh, maybe there's something I'm doing that I can adjust, right? I can only control me. I can only control how I fit into this stuff, right? And the minute I did that, and I was talking to people like you, not literally you, although it might have been, the minute you do that, people are like, well, let's see if he's really being honest about this. And so when you start being open about wanting that, people that can give that to you will be drawn to you, and they'll be like, they're probably already in your life. Like I can't think of a single instance I would ask anyone to prove to me that a good, strong mentor isn't already in your life, but maybe you're not open to it, right? Unless you live in a box, or because even if I live in an echo chamber, I'm in this political side of the spectrum and I can't stand what the other side is doing. And so everyone I email and text is like, this is the worst thing ever. You're right, Francis. This is the worst thing ever. I can't believe they're saying this or doing this. Even if that's all, that's not everyone I know. That's just the only people I reach out to because I know they're an echo chamber. The minute I'm willing to say, hey, I was thinking that maybe I misread this situation. Mm. What's going to happen? People are like, hey, you know, maybe you considered this, right? It doesn't mean everyone's going to be a mentor, but if you just open yourself up to wanting a mentor and being open to that, they will come into your life like that. I promise.
I love that. I love that. If you are really sincerely looking for a mentor or people to mentor you along the way, I had a friend reach out not long ago and said, Chad, and he's younger. And he dated my daughter years ago. And he goes, Chad, I follow the content that you and Francis are putting out. It's powerful. It's great. And someone told me I really need a mentor, right? And he goes, I'm really looking to find the right mentor. And I love that you say the very first thing you need to do is make sure you're ready for that mentor. And so you think to yourself, a lot of people say, oh, I got to look out. I got to find that mentor. But before you can even do that, Francis, you need to look inward and make sure you're in a place to be able to receive that mentorship. Because if you're not, you can have the greatest mentor in the world walk past you because you're not ready for it.
Yeah. And I want to be clear because coaching and mentoring do get kind of muddled together. And there is a specific purpose for coaching. Like you and I do coaching. We coach in the Speaking Academy. We have that option and it's available. And when the coaching is a little bit more specific, it's a little bit more, it's more, I don't want to say it's more action oriented, but it's more focused, right? Mentorship, when you talk about mentors, it's people that kind of help you as you kind of go through life and help you to look at things differently. And coaches do that as well. But when you're with a coach, it's usually for a specific purpose. It's career coaching or it's life coaching or it's relationship coaching or whatever it is. It's I don't want to say it's programmatic, but it is more of, it's not curriculum based, but it's more focused on something specific. And so it's a deeper level of that mentoring. And so, so I don't want anyone in the audience to be confused. Like, oh, if I just get some mentors, then my career will just come to me. You may need to find someone who is a career coach that's what they do for coaching. Or, you know, Elizabeth Pitt, who I've talked about a number of times, was my coach and my mentor. But when she coached me. And now she's not my coach, she's my mentor. So when I've got questions about things, I can text her, I can call her and say, hey, bounce this off of you. Whereas when she was my coach, she gave me assignments and I had things to read and review and things to report back. And she had specific questions she was asking me. It's a much deeper relationship. It's a much more intentional relationship. Whereas mentoring is like who I surround myself with and I have the voices I can trust that if they say, yeah, that's probably a bad idea. I know it's probably a bad idea versus like, I don't know, who should I listen to?
Right. I love that because the reality is, Francis, we help people. We coach people to get clarity. We coach people to get, and they go through those specific assignments. But I think the number one thing you're talking about with mentors, number one, get yourself in the place. But then number two is once you do that, many of those mentors that really can really help you, they're already in your life, but you've changed to a place that you can now receive them.
Right. And there's nothing formal about the relationship. Coaching there is. Usually coaching is paid. Mentor is not paid. It's more casual in nature. And when I talk about, like, if I sat down and you put a not a gun to my head, but figuratively and said, hey, like who are five people that you could reach out to? And I'm embarrassing them here, but I could name you five real quick that when I'm in a pinch or I need some guidance or I need someone to ground me, I know who I can call, right? It's not a formal relationship. There's not like, dear so-and-so, I have invited you to be my mentor. Like, it's not like that.
Right.
That's not what it is. It's just, you know, that that you can reach out to them. And I'm sure you, Chad, you know, you mentioned this kid. There's no reason on earth that this kid who used to date your daughter years ago is reaching out to you now. You are a mentor of his. He may not believe that's true. He may not recognize that, I should say, not believe it's true. He obviously knows it's true because he reached out to you about the content.
Right.
It's not very common for an ex-boyfriend of a daughter who he's not dating anymore to reach out to the dad. right? That's not normal, right? So
he's a great kid.
It's not a formal relationship, but it is someone that they will start to come into your life, and you will have a mental checklist, if not a literal checklist, that you know that when I get in a bind, when I need someone to be honest with me, when I need advice on like, should I do this? Or I'm thinking about this. What do you think? You know who you're going to call. And I know that everybody listening to this call knows that they have two or three people that reach out to them for those things, right? And I guess that could be a sub addendum to this, right? Is that if you want a mentor, be a mentor. Like, recognize in your own life the things that you do, because sometimes we beat ourselves up and we say, well, I don't have this formal thing, or I don't have, yeah, you do. I promise. There's people you reach out to. You just don't recognize them as a mentor as such, because it's not a formal relationship. It's not a contract. You're not paying them, but they're there in your life. But understanding who they are and what they do for you and the value they bring will expand it into so many other things, right? Like a lot of things in life, if you want to get something, give something, right? Mm-hmm. And so be that mentor, give that help, and be that honest, be honest and not mean, but honest and feedback. And it doesn't do any good to tell someone that everything is great. My sister-in-law sometimes will say to me, hey, I tried a new recipe. What did you think? She knows I used to teach at the culinary school.
Right.
I didn't teach classes, but I was around the instructors. And so she trusts and so I'd say it was good. There was this thing. Doesn't do me any good for me to say to her, oh, this is the best thing I've ever tasted. If it wasn't, like, I'm not mean about it. I'm like, hey, listen, there were some things I really enjoyed about this, like the texture. I thought it was really, really good. It could have been a little sweeter, maybe a little salt next time. And she and our relationship, she asked me about that all the time. Chad, if she didn't want me to give that feedback, or she was offended by my feedback, how many times do you think she'd ask me?
Right.
Just the first time.
That's it.
And then she's not going to ask me anymore because she doesn't want to get her feelings hurt again. But because we have a good relationship, the relationship was before the mentor about that type of thing. So it's really, it's not hard, but it is intentional.
Well, and I think you've given us the recipe right there, Francis, of what it takes to really find great mentors. That's the first step. One is get yourself in a right place, so that when that mentor comes along, you'll be able to recognize them. Number two is go look to be a mentor to somebody else. Go look to give to somebody else. And then number three, watch and recognize and ask. That third step's really difficult for a lot of people, but just ask someone, ask them questions. You don't have to say, I'd like to officially invite you to be my mentor, but if you ask them things, ask them questions, they can become a mentor of yours without you getting a signed contract for them to be a mentor to you. So right, you just go, right. So step one, put yourself in the right place. Step two, go look for people that you can help and mentor. And then step three, recognize and look for people that could be a mentor to you and ask them good questions. Don't ask people, hey, could you be my mentor? Just ask simple, straight, direct questions about them that will in turn help you.
Yep. Fantastic.
I love it. Francis, mentors matter. And I love what you just shared.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun talking about it.
Awesome. Go find those mentors, follow those three steps, and go be successful. Have a tremendous day, everyone. Bye now.